10 this morning. As I speak about, essentially, compassion is what I feel led to where I feel led to go this morning. And I'm going to use the story of the Good Samaritan in Luke chapter 10. If you're able to, I'm going to ask you to stand as we read a few verses out of Luke chapter 10, beginning in verse 25. Look at what it says. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said, "What is written in the law?" He replied, "How do you read it?" And the man answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself." Jesus said, "You have answered correctly. Do this and you will live." But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" And Jesus replied, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and he went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when they saw the man, he passed on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring oil on and wine. He put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. 'Look after him,' he said, 'and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you have.' Which of these," Jesus says, "which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell in the hands of robbers?" The expert of the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." Father, bless your word. In Christ's holy name, amen. Please be seated. Luke chapter 10. Is about, I think, this story is about compassion, obviously. And as you prayed and as we sang and the beauty of America, we have so much opportunity in America, and we also have opportunity to be compassionate to those who need compassion. And so I think this shows us, it's going to show us, enlighten us, remind us, encourage us today to do so. I ran across a story, and you may have heard it before, of a lady in 1964 who was brutally murdered. Let me give you this verse first. "Just as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him." That's why it's very important, as we're talking, what we're talking about and singing about today, that we fear the Lord, that we love him, we trust him with our life. And he has compassion on us because he is a loving father. Kitty Genovese is what I wanted to, a little story I wanted to share with you. March 13th, 1964. She was murdered at 3:20 a.m. in Queens, New York. She was returning home in a middle-class area. She parked her car in the parking lot. She turned off the lights. She started walking to her second floor apartment. And some 35 yards away, a man grabbed her. And she let out a blood-curdling scream that caused lights to come on, you know, Queens, New York. Lights to come on everywhere on the 10th floor apartment building and all the places nearby. She yelled, "He stabbed me. Please help me." Windows opened in the apartment building. The man stuck his head out and shouted, "Leave that girl alone." The attacker looked up but walked off down the street. Miss Genovese struggled to her feet when the lights went back off. The attacker came back and stabbed her again. She screamed, "I'm dying, I'm dying." Lights came on again, windows open, and many in the nearby apartments. The attacker left, got into his car, and drove away. Miss Genovese was staggering to her feet in a city. Obviously, bus drove by. It was now 3:35 a.m. 5 minutes had transpired, and 15 minutes. And the attacker returned, found her in the doorway of her apartment, and stabbed her a third time. And this time she died at 3:50 a.m. when the police arrived and received the first call. She was already gone. You know, detectives discovering this story of Kitty Genovese, that they researched and discovered that no fewer than 38 people, 38 neighbors witnessed the stabbing and the killing of Kitty Genovese. 38 people, but not one of them called the police. Not one of them. Where are the good Samaritans in this story? Obviously, there were none. And just like the familiar story that we're going to talk about today, who was traveling on a dangerous road for robbers. In fact, the road was called the Way of Blood. It was known for a dangerous road. And robbers and thieves could hide and all of that. It was known for that. It was like a dark alley in a medium size or a large city today. You just don't go there at night because you don't know who you may encounter. It was a dangerous journey from Jericho to Jerusalem. Very steep, very treacherous. And again, robbers could ambush you and ambush travelers because they were around. So I want to give you this morning three truths from the story about compassion. Number one, real compassion. What real compassion looks like. And I know you practice it, but I just want to encourage you this morning to keep practicing it and help others see that they need to practice it. Real compassion has eyes. It sees something. It notices. It doesn't just turn the head and not pay attention. It sees something. Notice verse 30 again. And Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, fell among the thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. I believe it's safe for you and I to say that the Lord Jesus teaches us that compassion has to be driven not by the worth of the person we're trying to help, but by the need. We see that there's a need. We notice here's a need right here. That's what drives our compassion, not who that person is, the worth of the person, what they may have, the choices they may have made because they're in this predicament. No. The need. The need. We should, as Jesus does, see things. Real compassionate sees things. The man is robbed and he's wounded and he's left for dead. He needs help. And he lay beside the road, and three men came down the road, the Bible says, and saw him in this condition. Look at the notice the first, verse 31. The priest came by first, says, there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. He just sort of went on the other side. Priest came down the road, but when he saw the man. He saw the man. Real compassion sees something. Literally, he did see him, but he just moved away from him. You know, some people want to excuse the priest, saying, well, he could have been unclean. May have thought he was dead, but that's not what's going on here. He just didn't have the right heart. He didn't see compassion. He didn't see this man. He was with, you know, he knew that he was, he knew he had a need, and he just overlooked him. The Levite and the priest were together. So notice, they were coming from the ceremony. So it isn't like he was going to a ceremony, needing to be unclean. No, he was coming from it. So he was legitimately, intentionally overlooking this man. He could have gone over to him, even if he thought he was dead. They were leaving Jerusalem and already performed their duties. The priest of all people was considered the holiest of the holy of the men in Jerusalem. If anyone was supposed to help this Jew that was laying on the road, it should have been the priest, because he taught the scriptures. He was entrusted the sacrifices for the sin of the people. He was allowed to go further into the temple than anyone else. If anyone was going to reflect the character of God, it should have been the priest. Notice verse 32. The Levite was there with the priest, and the Levite came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. The Levite at least came over and noticed him and looked at him, stood over him perhaps, or stood right beside him, and at least looked at him. But he did exactly like the priest. He went around, away from him, passed over on the other side. He looked at him like people do when there's a wreck on the highway. Do you do that? Do you rubberneck sometimes? You break your neck to see that wreck, and you can cause another one. That's what perhaps this Levite was doing. This Levite didn't feel the need to help, like Kitty Genovese's neighbors, the priest and the Levite. They didn't want to get involved. Notice the Samaritan. Fortunately, there was a Samaritan in the story. There was a third man who came by. He did not ignore the situation. He did not pass by on the other side. He had compassion. He saw that there was a need. That's what real compassion does. It sees not because of who the person is or not because of their predicament. It sees their need. And that's why sometimes you probably help people that other people say, I can't believe you're helping them. Why would you do that? You see how they've made bad choices. They've put themselves in this predicament. Well, you just feel led by the Spirit of God to help them because of their need. And I'm thankful that people do that. And we just leave the results up to God. Should we have helped them? I don't know. Did they go do something they shouldn't have done with what we gave them? I don't know. But if we feel led to, as we're, you know, fallible humans, then we should help them in whatever way. It could be a family member. It could be someone else. Real compassion, though, sees something. But it doesn't stop there. Real compassion feels something, too. It feels something. Look at verse 33. It says, but a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. Today we call this story the parable of the Good Samaritan. In fact, the very phrase Good Samaritan has become part of our common language, but it was definitely not a phrase that you would say in this day, in Bible times, in the day of Jesus. You wouldn't use this phrase, Good Samaritan. The Greek word for compassion refers to intestines. It refers to bowels. It's the equivalent of what we mean when we talk about a gut feeling, where we have a feeling that's so strong it just hits us all the way in our gut. It's just unbelievable, that feeling. It's the deepest part of who we are. It's when we get a phone call maybe in the middle of the night or sometime and we say, I can't believe this just happened. We have that gut feeling. Some may say it's from the heart. It's something that happens all the way down into the heart. Real compassion sees something. When the Samaritan, and you know the story, the Samaritan is a half-breed. He's not full-blooded. He is half. Jew and Gentile. He's a half-breed according to the Jews. And there's a Jew laying in the road. Something happened in this half-breed or this Samaritan's gut that made it impossible for him to walk away. Just like it does when you It makes it impossible for you to walk away. You know you may want to. People may be pressuring you to walk away, but there's something inside you that makes it impossible for you to walk away. There's no logical reason for this Samaritan to stop and do this except compassion. Not only he sees something, and not only does he feel something, but notice in verse 34, real compassion does something. It has feet to it. It carries it out. Notice what verse 34 says, and went to him, the Samaritan went to him, and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn and took care of him. Now don't forget, the Samaritan is moving towards someone who despises him. The Jew despised the Samaritan. And so this Samaritan is going over and helping someone that feels like he's despicable. It wasn't common. It was extremely uncommon. It was no doubt that this Jew, if it was on the other foot, if the Samaritan were laying there, the Jew would not help him. There's no doubt. It wouldn't have happened if the situations were reversed. And so Jesus tells this beautiful story by giving us six verbs of just how active this Samaritan was. Notice some of these verbs that he uses. He says the Samaritan went to him. He went over to him. It says he bandaged his wounds. It says he poured oil and wine into his wounds to help those wounds. It says that he put him on his own beast or his donkey as they walked. It says he brought him to somewhere for shelter, carried him to an inn, somewhere to stay, to provide lodging. And it says he took care of him. What a tremendous, compassionate story we see. In every one of these acts, he demonstrated compassion. Every one of them. He took time to take care. And dear friend, when you and I take time to take care of someone, you and I know what Jesus says. If you give just a little glass of water, you're helping the least of these. So when you and I show compassion to someone, even if it's for 1 minute or less, we're doing it, and we're doing it in the name of Jesus. We're doing it because of what Jesus is leading us to do. We feel led by the Spirit to do that. Then we're obeying God. We're doing what He wants us to do. We're acting out compassion the way this Samaritan did, through this story of what Jesus tells how we should do it. You know, we're not able to help everybody. Sometimes we do have to go on, and we can't stop, and there are times we can't help everywhere, and we can't help everyone, but there are times and there are places that we need to do that. There are times when we need to stop and just say, let me pray with you, or is there something I can pray with you about? Or there are times we just need to show real compassion because it sees things, it sees something, it feels something, it does something. Notice what verse 35 says, and on the morrow, the next day, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, yours may say denarii, and gave them to the host, and said to him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. So this Samaritan went the extra mile. He took the man to a hotel. He had the innkeeper look at recovering this victim. And he promised that he would return and reimburse whatever needed to be reimbursed for additional expenses. I love what Jesus says in verse 36. Look at it. And I'm almost through. Jesus says, which of these three, speaking to this religious leader that's asking this question, do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell in the hands of robbers? And the expert in the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. And so Jesus said, told him, go and do likewise. I think that's really what God's saying for you and I to do as we live this life. Just go and do likewise. Amen? That, I mean, in all of the scripture, in all of the commandments, in all of, are we perfect? Are we going to be able to do them? No. That's why we have Jesus. That's why we have the Holy Spirit within us. But ultimately, our task before us is just to go and do likewise. Like the people in the apartments that saw Kitty Genovese murdered. I'm afraid we all at times are so busy, we become indifferent and cold towards people that need compassion. I encourage you today, brothers and sisters, that are very compassionate. This is an extremely compassionate church. Keep showing that compassion because it sees something, it feels something, and it does something. And I thank you for being a compassionate people. Let's pray. Father, we know that compassion is only found in you, Lord. Just like Brother Lance prayed, Lord, that freedom that we have in this life is only found in you. So is compassion. And so, Father, I pray that as we go about our week this week, that if we see a need that is driven, that just penetrates our gut, that just goes down into our heart, the deepest part of our body, that we would at least pray for them. But if we can, Lord, that we would go even beyond that and do more. Thank you, Lord, for salvation. Thank you for grace and mercy. Lord, if there's one today that's kind of gotten off track, they've been caught up in politics, they've been caught up in the world, they've been caught up in the things of this world and money and all these other things that are temporary and are going to fade away one day, Lord, may they repent of that and may they put their mind, they set their mind back on course with you, Lord, and just trust you with their life. Trust you with their finances, trust you with their health, trust you with all of these things, and just go and do likewise. Lord, if there is possibly even one that have never trusted you today, and if they died, they know that they're not going to make it to heaven. I pray that right where they sit, that they would just cry out to you to save them, Lord. They would believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Holy One, from you, Lord, that He is, that He's divine, and He came to this earth to die for lost people, and He rose from the grave, and one day He's coming back for those who love you. And so, Father, and love Him, I pray, if there is one of those, that they would just ask you to save them today and trust you with their life. And Father, whatever the needs may be, may you just help us, Lord, with them today. We ask in Jesus' holy name. Remember, brother, amen.